Yes, Mike has given me the privilege of finishing off this series on Thessalonians. And I have the power. I don't think I've ever used this thing before. So we'll see how it goes. I apologise for every mistake I make. And in fact, Mike's given me this privilege to finish it off. And he's given me the theme of love to look at in Thessalonians. Now, it's last. It's end, but I want to show you guys that I think he's given me the most important. So, sucker Mike, thanks. We're going to read from, I want to read from Corinthians first and pick up a theme that Paul does like to talk about quite a lot. And it's probably not as developed in Thessalonians, but it's something he always picks up on virtues of Christianity, of faith, hope and love. I'm sure you all know these verses from Corinthians that I'm going to work. I thought if I did it some other way, it might work. Turn it on. That might be helpful. No. There's an on button? Okay. Yes. All right. Read with me. That'd be great. For now, we can only see a dim and blurry picture of things as we stare into polished metal. I realize that everything I know is only part of the big picture. But one day, when Jesus arrives, we will see clearly, face to face. In that day, I will fully know, just as I have been, wholly known by God. But now, faith, hope, and love remains. These three virtues must characterize our lives. The greatest of these is love. We all know that where it comes from in the beautiful passage in Corinthians 13, talking about where it moves in from talking about spiritual gifts and where they are, and then I'll show a greater thing, and talking about love. So, obviously, love's important, so you have to actually listen to me today. That sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? Yes? Maybe? All right. I want to talk first about this idea of virtues. Paul says in this here, three virtues that must characterize our lives. Virtues is a word that doesn't get used as much nowadays, does it? People don't like it, I don't reckon, because it suggests something. I think it suggests that it's got something to do with us. That doesn't sound much fun, does it? That sounds like responsibility. We don't like sometimes when God actually requires or asks us for effort, because we get worried that it's effort that might get us to salvation. We know this is not true. You know, it's through grace that we are saved. But the fact is, and I've heard, I remember Russell Bartlett speaking about it ages ago. There's something that sat with me. That's an important distinction to make about this idea. That the gospel isn't against effort, it's against earning. I'm going to say that again so you understand. The gospel isn't against effort, it's against earning. God still asks us by His Spirit and through our own efforts to be about these virtues. But it's not the reason that we are saved. It's not, we don't earn God's favour and we don't earn God the right to be with Him by what we do. But He's asking us to reflect who He is. God is love. God is about faith. God is about hope. And He wants us to reflect these things. Let's read from Thessalonians now. We always thank God for all of you in our prayers. Your actions on behalf of the true faith, your tireless toil of love, and your unfailing, unwavering, unending hope in our Lord Jesus, the Anointed, before God our Father, have put you consistently at the forefront of our thoughts. O brothers and sisters, loved by God, we know He has chosen you. Paul, again, picking up on these ideas, what does he say about faith, hope and love here? that your actions on behalf of true faith, that it's actually doing that faith is talking about here. It's not just a belief. It's not just thoughts. It's actually action. Unfailing, unwavering hope in Jesus. And again, even love here, what's the word that's connected to love? You can say, you can speak back to me, it's okay. Toil. Oh, when I think of toil, it's not my favourite word. The images that I picture are to do with gardening. Who thinks of gardening when they hear toil? Oh man, the second the word gardening comes up, soil. Maybe it rhymes, maybe that's it, but it does. Honestly, the first thing I think of is gardening. And I know my wife's eyes are burning me right now, but I do speak the truth that I'm not a gardener. This can be proven by the fact that I have fake lawn out the back of my house. And if you presently go past my front yard at the moment, it is a disgrace. I'm not the gardening type. So the word toil makes me go, oh no. But God is asking us to not put love in the beautiful, lovey-feeling butterflies thing, but to put it into the actions of actually hard work, in the grit and determination of what that means. You know, love, when we hear about this and hear the effort required, it stands in opposite to a lot of what the world suggests of us. This is one of the reasons that I love love. I love love in the way that God describes it. Is it not being just a feeling, but an action. That is against so much of the world that holds up as a virtue. The virtue the world holds up is actually power. Power in a way that I can show everyone else that I've got it together. If I am in control, I have power over my own destiny, over what I do with my life, over my relationships, over all things. Career, power is a virtue held up with the world. I want to suggest to you that love opposes power. Love, in some ways, is opposite to power. Power works by the idea of being over someone. It's an outside force that requires someone to do something. Otherwise, you're going to get a kick in the pants. Or you will it to happen. You enforce it. You push people down to get it. Do you see how love's opposite to that? Love works within. Love works underneath to pick people up. Looks for the best in people with hope and faith that someone will act because of love, not by power, but because of love. Love is an inside-out quality rather than outside-in. You know, I would laugh at sometimes at some of the laws that get put into place nowadays. One of my favourites that they were talking about, it didn't happen recently on ABC, I am officially, these younger people in here already figured that out, but they think I'm old because I listen to ABC radio all the time, including my wife. But they were talking about putting it in place that laws against people who are drunk walking around, because, you know, they might walk out on the road, and if someone walks out on the road in the wrong time, they're going to get hit. So if we see anybody even walking the streets, we can breathalyze them. Now, from one side of things, you can look at the outside-in idea here and realize that they're trying to change something. There's actually an inside-out problem, isn't it? They're trying to enforce something from the outside in. At the surface, it looks like a good idea. But when you actually think about it, how is that going to help whatsoever? That's a nanny state type enforcement of outside in. We can fix every problem by just putting power over. But what we're not going to do, this is the best bit of it, was we're not going to take someone away and help them to think about what's going on with their lives. It was, what do you think the punishment was? The idea. On the spot, fine. Great idea. Because that's going to change people's behaviour, as we see it happens in cars. Doesn't change people's behaviour really, does it? It just gives money to the government. It's not going to help anyone in actually not being drunk on the street. That's an outside. That's an example of power. And inside out is something completely different. Inside out is changing someone from within, that they would understand that they maybe are cared for, that they are looked after, that they are worthwhile. And this is the type of love that God is asking us to display. The type of love that is being a servant, just like Jesus was a servant. The word slave even gets thought of in this sort of idea. You know, I remember I'd seen, it was years and years ago, but I don't know if anyone else remembers this. It was only when I was a newer Christian, but there was a bikie dude that used to hang out in Rundle Mall with a sandwich board, like, you know, one of those front and back riding stuff. And he used to hang out, and it had on his sandwich board, both sides, the same phrase, and said, "I'm Jesus' slave. Whose slave are you? I'm Jesus' slave. Whose slave are you?" I really liked the idea of this, because I'm sure he got into some interesting conversations from this. Because people would have looked at it and sort of, that seems a bit negative. Well, what are you talking about? I'm not a slave to anything. I think the opening idea was awesome. I really respected what this guy was trying to say, is that we, in the end, are all bound to something. We're all slaved to something. Whether it is just our own pleasures and our own thoughts, our own ideas, we're still enslaved to them. The idea of a slave or a servant, doesn't sound amazing. But Jesus is an amazing master. An amazing master. This idea of faith, hope, and love has got a lot to do with us, I think, at talking about past, present, and future. Talking about something and a virtue for all parts of our lives. Faith in what has happened, what Jesus has done for us when he died on the cross, what he has saved us from. When we have faith in what has happened, and it helps us with our past. It helps us in realizing all that we have done, we are saved by grace. Hope in what is to come. Hope in the kingdom being as it should be. Heaven, eternal life. All that is to come in the future. But love is for how we act now. It is the present. It is what we do with what God has given us. Let me read from Romans, another famous verse that you probably know. Just at the right time, Christ died for ungodly people. He died for us when we had no power on our own. It is unusual for anyone to die for a godly person. Maybe someone would be willing to die for a good person. But here is how God has shown his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the amazing virtue of what love is about. Is us to understand, even though it requires effort, it requires us to be a servant. We need to first start with the fact that God loves us. And not for what we do, for while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I'm sure a lot of us have heard this a number of times, but if we lose the impact of this, we lose all of what Christianity is about. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the nature of love that God is asking us to reflect into the world, not to be conditional, to be a servant, but also that it starts with him. You know, I think we still, and we've probably heard this a million times too, but we still fall into the trap of looking to gain God's favour, looking to appease God by what we do. Don't we? I know occasionally I still fall into that, as much as I try not to. Even thinking about coming along this morning, or any Sunday, think about, oh, probably should come so that God's happy with me, because I'll probably need him this week to do some stuff for me. Who may be willing to admit that they do that type of thing? I will. Or maybe I'll just give him some time here, because then he'll like me, and I've appeased him, and other things will work out for me. Because I pay to make God do what I tell him to do. Do I? I'll just give us a moment just to actually think these things through. I think they're actually important for us to think. That's why I'm going to give us a moment. Do you live out of gratitude? Do you understand that God has loved you first, and that he requires you and asks these virtues of you not to appease him, but out of a gratitude for what he has done? Or can you live that? Can you say that that's actually true for you? Or are you living in that favour idea, that you're appeasing God, that you're giving him things so that he will like you? Let's close our eyes just for a moment. We could just have a couple of words with God about that. You know, I asked the band to play that song, "Oh Lord, You're Beautiful." Because I think sometimes it comes back to that. If we think, you know, the idea of first love, you know, come back to our first love, when we heard the gospel and understood it for the first time, and how much I know for myself it burned in me. So here's the God that actually loves me. Not based on what I do, just because of who I am. I think we need to start there with love. We need to start in that understanding of what love is before we can actually take that and reflect that and take that into effort. So we need to understand God's love for us. The depth, the width, the unconditional nature. And when that burns in us, and that gratitude of wanting to reflect who God is to the rest of the world, we'll reflect it. We'll reflect it. And we'll reflect it in a way like Thessalonians talks about, like Paul talks about. We didn't come seeking respect from people, not from you or anyone else. Although we could have leveraged our position as emissaries of the Anointed One, the Liberating King. Instead, we proved to be gentle among you, like a nursing mother caring for her own children. We were so taken by you that we not only eagerly shared with you God's good news, but we also shared with you our own lives. This is how much you meant to us. This is love. So God saved us. And that we would give ourselves not just the message, but we would give of ourselves. We would be servants of slaves to our master. But we would give of ourselves. For that is the gospel. And the nature of it. An old poem goes, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Everyone's probably saying amen to that right now. I'd rather one walk with me than merely show the way. The eye's a better pupil, more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing. But example's always clear. I think it's a great poem, reminding us there's our role to be servants to others. There's our role to live out the love that God has given us. This is how we show the love of the Father to others. That we would be all that He's called us to be. To love as a servant, as Jesus was our servant. We're going to sing a couple of songs to finish the service. And I want us to sing a couple of songs because I want us to focus in on one of those two things for us. And I don't know what it is for you. That's for you to deal with God. But is it that you feel dry? That you have been gaining God's favor by trying to do. Maybe God's asking you to come back to the fact that He loves us first. Or maybe it is for you that you might have understood that, but you've got stuck in this space of not being able to reflect that into God's world. You know, this culture, I think, does a great job of us even taking our faith a bit like materialism. And we gain stuff with the idea of continually getting rather than God's economy gives, takes so that we can give. That verse that Liam read out earlier, may God, our Father Himself, and Master Jesus, clear the road to you, and may the Master pour out His love so that fills our lives, and then what does it do? It splashes on everyone else around you so that you show the love. I heard this analogy once that, like Psalm 23, my cup runneth over. The idea of the cup running over is a God's economy thing. We're given so that we can give out. It's the living water. But so often, what do we do as materialists? If the cup's running over, that's a bit of a waste. Get a bigger cup. Get a bucket. Get a tank. I wonder if that speaks to you. Do you deal with faith in that way too? Do you just keep making your cup bigger? Or is God calling you to keep your cup small? To live simply and love extravagantly.